At least they have made some progress here, Temeraire said, meaning on the quantity of cattle, and Governor Macquarie was proven very reasonable, he felt, having allowed them each 2 cows after the ordeal of the journey, despite the expense to the colony. With the shortage, it seemed hard to see so many cattle and sheep loaded aboard the Allegiance for her provision. Iskierka would at least be at sea and might eat fish, if she chose, in all their variety, and there was no reason she ought not take instead some kangaroos, and perhaps some of the grey cassowaries, and there would be seals at New Amsterdam. She was unswayed by this argument. "And I do not see that I owe you anything," she said with a flip of her tail, "when I consider how long the journey, and how many pains I have taken over it. You might at least have given me an egg for all my trouble."
"You have caused a great deal of trouble yourself, and no one wished for you to come from the beginning," Temeraire retorted.
But guilt smote him painfully when he had said it. Iskierka had been of material service. He could not quite deny it in the privacy of his own conscience. He squirmed with discomfort, but he thought rather despairing that Lawrence should never approve if he permitted selfish interest to outweigh justice. So Temeraire drew a deep breath and heroically said,
"You might stay, I suppose, if you wished to."
Iskierka snorted, disdainful.
"As if anyone would wish to stay in this wretched country, where there is nothing fine to eat, and the only battles one can get, one is covered in stinking fish. No, if you ask me, you are a great gaby to stay," she added. "Granby says we will likely go from Madras to Rio instead of home, and have a splendid battle against those African dragons who ran you off before. I am sure we will do better."
Temeraire flattened his ruff, from equal parts annoyance and envy. Madras. He had never seen Madras, or any part of India, although many pleasant things were always coming from there, and he understood all of Brazil to be thoroughly littered with gold, from what sailors said. Nor could Temeraire have any enthusiasm for the coming battle, as he understood they would only be dropping bombs from aloft. And while he would be perfectly happy to clear away the serpents, who had proven to be so wretchedly difficult and stupid besides, Lawrence thought it should certainly mean war with China. But there was no choice. When the Allegiance had gone, and the latest frigate and those of the merchant ships whose draught was too deep to bring them into the safety of the shallows, they would attack. Lawrence also was making his farewells.
"Pray give my best to Harcourt," Lawrence said, and then belatedly added, "I mean to Mrs. Riley, of course. I hope you will find her much recovered, and the child well."
"I suppose he will be talking by now," Riley said. "If he hasn't been dropped from Dragonback mid-air, I shan't be surprised to hear it if he has."
He took the letters which Lawrence had prepared and those which Sifo had taken down for Temeraire.
"Captain Riley," Temeraire said, "I know you are not very fond of each other, but if you please, I hope you will tell Lily that I send my regards also, and she is very welcome to visit us, she and Maximus, if they should ever choose to."
"Oh," Riley said, a little dismally. Temeraire did have to allow that Lily had been a little unreasonable towards him, but then, in a way one might say it was Riley's fault that poor Harcourt had suffered so much with her egg. "Yes, certainly I will convey your wishes."
"I call it damned stupid and a waste besides," Granby was saying to Lawrence meanwhile,
low but not very low,
"to leave you here and with Rankin to command the covert, if one could even call it a covert when there are 3 dragons in it and 2 as likely to throw him in the ocean as obey him."
"I wish him very great joy of the command," Lawrence said dryly. "It is not likely to demand much initiative, and he may as well be here as anywhere. He cannot do very much harm in the position, and he is welcome to the politicking. In all honesty, we would be at more of a standstill if Domaine were confined in rank. From what we have seen of Governor Macquarie, I cannot imagine he would be in the least inclined to listen to a stripling, quite apart from his birth."
"As far as that goes, Domaine is as much an officer as he is a fish, so I don't know you are worse off with Rankin either," Granby said. "No, but it is still a crime to leave you here to rot along with him, and I expect he will make a nuisance of himself. I don't think he knows how to otherwise. And a prime heavyweight," he added with still more frustration, "with not a prayer of getting him off the continent when the Allegiance has gone."
Kolingile had outgrown Caesar a short way into their journey, to Temeraire's private satisfaction, but it seemed to him Kolingile did not need to continue growing at such a pace now when it plainly consumed so much of the available stores. Even if Iskierka was going away, that still did not leave them with so very many cows, and the hunting grew a good deal more tedious when anyone was taking 6 kangaroos at a time. Soon they should have to fly several hours afield to find herds which could be culled.
"And you have surely heard several of the officers say that there is no use for a really big heavyweight here in this colony?"
Temeraire had said to him, when they had at last returned to the valley, and Coolingile had insisted on a portion of cattle just as large as those which Temeraire and Eskirka had commanded.